Well, whatever's about to happen, I'm here for it. Somehow, Chris has handed over the reins and Adam's handed over the mics and I'm in charge. So let's see what happens. Chris, introduce yourself using a color and a breakfast food. Go.
Well, my favorite breakfast food is Weetabix, and my favorite...
Oh my god, that's so boring.
Adam, it's not your turn right now. Go.
And my favorite color is blue, but you've not introduced yourself, Jesse.
No, I don't matter. I'm just in charge.
Okay.
Adam, introduce yourself using an animal and a day of the week. Go.
I like turtles and Saturdays.
Great.
Ninja or hero?
They're not. It's not an either or situation, Chris.
Okay.
Yes, and.
They're mutants, they're ninjas, and they're heroes.
Yeah.
Okay, in a half shell.
Did you think that one of them was a mutant, one of them was a ninja, and one of them was a hero?
Wait, real question is, at the end of this podcast, we're going to all share our favorite Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. Don't do it yet.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. What does this have to do with football? I don't know. Who cares? Again, I'm in charge. You never know what's going to happen. Stay on your toes. Okay, so we're going to do the rundown of the opening Premier League fixtures. You're both going to share your opinions. I might tell you if your opinions are dumb. You know, it's a wild ride. So, are we ready to jump in and start with the current fixture that is happening at this very moment? Burnley.
Yeah.
Reigning Premier League champions.
Burnley are the Premier League champions? You have to be a little bit more specific here.
I think if you're listening to this show at this point,
yeah,
you're coming in at, I think this might be season 11, maybe even 12. If you've started tuning in at this point and you don't know who the reigning Premier League champions are, I can't help you.
What can you help us with? Tell us something about Burnley City.
Burnley City. One, that's not their name.
Well,
oh, you mean? Or do you mean Burnley City as in the game?
Yes, Adam.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah, you're supposed to be the jet-lagged one. Well, Ross will be mad at us, but so I'll take the hit and break the cardinal rule. But City are already 1-0 up. Were there any 13 minutes in on my stream at the moment? But yeah.
Yeah, and tell us the second least surprising thing. Who scored the goal?
Yeah, Erling Haaland scored in after 4 minutes of Premier League football. So, meet the new season, same as the old season, right?
Chris, are City going to do anything to surprise us this season?
I wonder if City's plan was to... Because they've done a lot of record-breaking last season, but they haven't done anything unique yet. So maybe their focus, maybe they're going to go really, really hard for the quadruple. Maybe they really wanted the Charity Shield as well on top of that. But it's really hard to motivate yourself when you've won a Premier League title 3 times. I think no one's done it 4. That'll be motivation for City if they needed any. They're going to go for the quadruple, which no one has won before. They might well do it. I've got a feeling they will be Premier League champions for sure. And I think
they won't win the quadruple.
Do you not?
I mean, they have about.
I mean, it was only Nathan Jones that stopped them this year.
Yeah, but I just think that that's it, right? It's the fact that's chaos, but that it happened.
I didn't think they would win it, but I think they'll make a serious attempt at it because it's not been done before.
Sure.
Do we care enough to say anything about Burnley?
Yeah, I think that they're going to stay up fairly comfortably, I think. Maybe not necessarily due to them, but I think due to other teams, I think. I think they'll be... I think the Premier League table is really, really difficult because I think you've got City, who most people would agree will win. Second, third, fourth, the reigning Champions League places is difficult. Fifth to tenth, you can... Or maybe sort of 6th to 10th, it could be anyone. And I think 10th down to 20th or 11th to 20th, that could be pretty much anyone as well. And I think Burnley will survive fairly comfortably about sort of 15th, 16th place, I think.
All right. Are we ready to go to our first rape apologist on the list and our first match from Saturday?
Yeah.
I have more to add.
Oh, God.
Please add more.
I think that City are going to be relatively imperious. I agree with Chris in that regard. That I think that they'll be challenged, but I'm not sure they'll be seriously challenged for the title. Is that, if you know what I mean, kind of a bit like Arsenal's title challenge.
Yeah,
kind of a paper title challenge from a couple of teams, but I think that they've recruited really well. They're probably going to add another forward player of some sort to replace Mahrez, who I've never been a particular fan of, so I don't think was any big loss to them in my eyes.
Do you think?
No, I don't.
I think that Mahrez and Gundogan, I think, will be missed more than maybe people realise. I think Mahrez did contribute. He wasn't a starter, but he was someone who, when he would come on, would make an impact with an assist or a goal himself. And I think same for Gundogan as well. I think that's their only weakness, I think, is have they adequately replaced a very important player like Gundogan and a player who was good at making an impact off the bench in Mahrez. I think that's the only thing, I think.
I think they have. I think that Kovacic is going to slot in and be a handy replacement, and I think that I wouldn't be surprised if we were to see a lot more from Calvin Phillips, as we've seen from a lot of players in their second year in a Pep Guardiola team, maybe with no injuries, with pre-season. I'm not concerned about either of those losses.
The other thing as well, I mean, maybe another thing that counts against City is, I don't know how much it would do, but I get the feeling from his time in Germany that Erling Haaland was a little injury prone, and he didn't really have that last season. And I wonder if he did get injured for a few weeks or a month or two, would City be okay without him?
What with Julian Alvarez? He's just won a World Cup.
And, like, a bench that has more population than Rhode Island.
I'm just trying to steal things from Football Weekly I heard earlier on, trying to remember it as my
own. No, what you're doing
here
is trying to host when you've given me hosting.
Oh, I know. Sorry. That's what I've done. Sorry. It's hard. Sorry, Jesse.
I think that Burnley, from the very limited knowledge I have of what this Burnley team is, and it's going to take, I feel like it's going to take me a while to shake or reshape the idea of what Burnley are as a team in my head, because their brand has taken a serious nosedive in my eyes. Sean Dyche did a lot of damage. So I think that, from what I understand, they play a lot of really nice football under Vincent Kompany. So it's going to be something a bit different in that regard. I saw that they signed Sander Berger from Sheffield United. I think that's a really good signing. Someone with a bit of Premier League experience and a player who I rate quite highly. I again think Chris is right in that I think Burnley will be fine.
I just want to point out that you said Chris is right, and I don't remember the last time I heard you both agreeing with each other, and so I just want to take a moment to let that sink in. Okay.
All it took was for Jesse to host for 10 minutes.
Do you see? There's nothing I can't do.
Jessie's the peace breaker.
She is. She's the Richard Holbrook.
Okay. So, tomorrow, Saturday, for those of you not listening at this very moment, we've got Rape Apologists Arsenal and Nottingham Forest. Or as Chris likes to say, Forest. Friends, talk to me about Arsenal. Are they going in this with a chip on their shoulder? Do they feel good enough about last season? We're not even going to talk about him because he sucks. And then Forrest, I thought, well, I'm not going to tell you what I thought because I'm hosting. You're going to tell me what you thought. Oh, God, I love this position.
Who sucks? I'm confused.
Yeah.
It's so difficult to keep track of who sucks nowadays. Apparently Lizzo sucks. I mean,
I know.
The world is a strange place.
An alphabetized list, but I was starting with Arsenal. So you know who sucks.
Oh, him, right, yeah. There was a period when I thought he was going to leave and I was quite excited about it.
I know, I think we all were.
Arsenal. I think Arsenal could be going to be really interesting because I think that they have undoubtedly strengthened... whether you'd say key positions in their team, Declan Rice is going to be a huge upgrade, and I think that he could make a lot of difference for them. I think that realistically, though, I don't really feel like they suffered too greatly last season again at the hands of any sort of major injuries. So, did they run out of steam because they were physically tired? And that's what happened, or did they reach some sort of mental block, and do they have the mentality to fix that?
Or did they just run up against Man City? Christopher, what do you think?
I think someone raised an interesting point on the preview show yesterday, and the Man on the Post preview show yesterday. I think Carl said it. He believed that Arsenal were the only team to strengthen in the transfer window, whereas other teams have replaced players who have left. And I think that's true with Declan Rice. I really want to see how they use Kai Havertz, because Kai Havertz at Bayer Leverkusen was a phenomenally good player. He was just lovely to watch. And I don't think Chelsea used him in the correct way. I think what they have done is, they have strengthened, so as other teams have done well around them, I think they've sort of kept pace with that. They've got Jurrien Timber as well, who's a versatile player. I can see them hanging on for second again. I can't see them going one further and overtaking City. I can see them finishing second, having a little bit more of a gap than City got last season. Regards to Forest, I think Steve Cooper, if they have a bad start, because, I mean, they had an awful away record last season, and they're starting away at Arsenal this season. So if they don't get momentum early and they need to pick up points they didn't pick up away last time, I think Steve Cooper could be in trouble as one of the first managers to get the sack in the Premier League. I don't know how much grace he'll get this year as compared to last year. But I think they'll struggle, but I don't know. I think they might be okay. Just.
Adam, what you got for us?
I have a very difficult read on Forest, because I didn't think that they were particularly good last season, but they just managed to pull something out and they seem to have a raucous home support. But is that something that's inherent with Forest, or is that a fan base of a club that would be deemed something of a sleeping giant that had been out of the Premier League for God knows how many years? Will the fans replicate that? Do you get a situation where a sort of a stasis kicks in, I guess, and they become expectant of more, with and you think the same with the owners, where Chris is there talking about the manager being in trouble, and you think, like, what do the owners want? Is this a case where Steve Cooper has all the grace that he needs because he's the one who got them back into the Premier League, and a bit like talking about Sean Dyche, he can almost stay and take them down if he wants. I don't know. I think that they might be. There's talk that they might be in trouble with some of their players being sniffed about, especially if a certain English striker was to trade in and get himself some Lederhosen.
Really, who's going to who would they sign from? Who would Spurs sign?
Now you're, and that's annoying, Chris, because I now don't know enough about Forest's squad to be able to tell you who that is again.
Is it Johnson?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you don't know if he's Johnson or not. You're just saying it.
No. If I'm honest, I was about 80% sure it was Johnson, but I didn't want to commit to that in case Johnson wasn't even and still might not be a Forest player. You might be having me on, but if you are, you've done an excellent job.
Brennan Johnson.
Yeah.
I think I've seen him linked with Spurs as well, so I'll let you off the hook with that. But the thing about the manager is twice last season, the club had to come out and say, we're not sacking him. And I don't, and maybe that's because like the first season back, I don't know whether he'll get that in the second season.
No, that's an excellent point. I hadn't taken that into account about the what's it called? Vote of confidence.
Yes.
I don't agree with us about Arsenal being the only team that have strengthened, though. I don't think that's true.
I think the but point was they've not replaced. They've not had to replace anyone. They've improved positions while keeping personnel.
Sure. I like you, I'm really interested in Kai Havertz, but if they keep playing him as a centre forward like they did in the Charity Shield, then that seems like an odd £65 million to spend.
It's so frustrating because of what he did at Leverkusen. He was phenomenally good at Leverkusen, and then English football can't seem to use him properly.
Well, I'm hoping that what they'll do is play with... They'll play with two tens, or two 8/10s in Odegaard and Havertz and have Rice hold.
Mm.
And then you're have them two joining your to make your attacking five joining Martinelli and Jesus and Saka. So if that's the case, you could see him play in a more familiar role to what he did in his early career.
Mm.
Can we take a hot second to talk about Aaron Ramsdale's, why is that hard for me? Aaron Ramsdale's piece in the Players Tribune.
Yes, that was very brave, wasn't it?
I thought about all of it, about the miscarriage and about his brother. That was just a reminder that they're all human.
Yeah, exactly. That was a really brave piece, and it was quite a poignant piece to read. One thing I don't understand with Ramsdale is why Arsenal are buying David Raya, because I don't seem to remember Aaron Ramsdale being terrible last season.
Yeah, I had this question. I am having this discussion ongoing with my Arsenal supporting best friend. And
at the gym?
No, this one lives in London, so not at the gym. But I could maybe send some of those messages from the gym to him. You never know. It's not impossible. I just think that maybe they think... I don't think that they necessarily see Ramsdale as a weakness, but I think they see Rare as maybe an upgrade. And if you're going to try and win the league, you need to do that, I guess.
Yeah.
I think there's much they may be seeing this idea of loaning Rare as an opportunity to maybe try and even push Ramsdale and maybe get what you want out of Ramsdale, but just by giving him competition. And I also maintain I think it's a bit weird, but yeah, that is supposedly the word on the street.
Okay.
The street around the gym. So after that, we've got Bournemouth West Ham. Everybody say one thing about this match using only a question. Go.
Is this the Harry Redknapp derby?
Ooh, okay. All right. 2 points for you, Adam. Adam's very busy sending Chris a separate WhatsApp message, like, never let
him. Can I turn off match the day before this game is on?
Good job. Okay. All right. Now, expand on that.
I think both of these teams could be bad.
Sid Lowe likes the idea of the appointment of the Bournemouth manager, doesn't he? Well, you're not on Twitter, you don't know. Sid Lowe, Adam, likes the idea of the appointment of the Bournemouth manager.
Okay, does he now?
He does.
Well, I just think, yeah, maybe. Anything, Bournemouth could become anything. Like, I think that the fact that group of players with that manager last season stayed up was a freak coincidence where they managed to catch lightning in a bottle, and then they wouldn't have done that twice. So if there hadn't been some sort of changes, I'd be thinking I'd have them nailed on to get relegated. West Ham, I think that Declan Rice was so heads and shoulders their best player. There seems to perpetually be this pressure around David Moyes, despite the fact that he won them a European trophy last season. I don't know. I always worry about West Ham in their inability to score goals. And now if you don't have Declan Rice in the team, I know, who isn't a goal scorer, but takes away other strengths from you. Maybe we could see a sort of Uber David Moyes-esque team if they do go ahead and sign Harry Maguire and James Ward-Prowse. That's a lot of dangerous set pieces.
I think the Maguire signing could be quite canny, because I think he did well at Hull and he did well at Leicester, and maybe he's one of those players.
He hasn't always done terribly at Manchester United. He's just not one of the best centre backs in the world. That's a very high bar to have to reach to be at the calibre where you can play week in and week out at a club at the level Manchester United
wants. Yeah, and it's a different kettle of fish being at West Ham than it is being at Manchester United. So maybe he will play better with that sort of pressure off him a little bit.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
I think a big thing for West Ham could be if they lose Paqueta to Man City, which looks likely, because he did very well last season and he was really good at Lyon as well.
But you think that West Ham must be in a position where they can tell Man City to fuck off.
Can anyone really tell Man City to fuck off?
Well, they've got £105 million of Declan Rice money in their back pocket.
Yeah, they might have a really unhappy Lucas Paqueta.
I think in that case, you have to do a situation where you say to him, look, you've only been here 12 months. You signed a 4 or 5 year contract, whatever he signed. Maybe offer him a new contract, put a release clause in it. So you can go next season if we get another bid of £50 million, whatever. No idea what the money is, just throwing a figure out there. Then you can go. But you can't lose Paqueta and Declan Rice in this in a single season. You have to show some backbone. He's under contract. Like, use the levers that you have.
Will he play at his best for you if he's there and he's miserable?
Well, if he doesn't play at his best for you, then he won't be going to move to Manchester City next season, will he? But so,
fair. Adam, we're hiring you to coach. Good job. Let's move on to everybody's favorite, Brighton versus Luton. Guys, we have our first newbies.
We do,
and they're playing at the Amex. So what do we hope to see? What do we know? Where do we think Brighton will end up? Do we think Luton will take advantage of their arrival?
I'd like to say Brighton might be a little bit disrupted by the whole Moises Caicedo thing today, but I honestly don't think they will. I think Brighton will win this game. It might not be particularly easy for them. I think for this season, I think Brighton have got the Europa League or Conference League, so they've got the Thursday-Sunday thing, which they're not used to, and that takes some getting used to. And I don't know why it takes some getting used to, because it's just the same as playing the Champions League on Wednesday and Saturday. I don't quite get it, but it seems to befuddle teams. And I think that I don't know if they've replaced Alexis McAllister yet. They've sure got to now replace Moises Caicedo, and they've lost Levi Colwill back to Chelsea as well. So I think that's going to be a big thing. And the Caicedo thing happening the day before the season starts doesn't really help Brighton at all. But I think it'll be okay for this fixture. I can see them probably finishing mid-table at the end of this season. I think they'll be okay without troubling anybody particularly. Luton, I think, could be really good example of a team coming up that people really sort of underestimate. I think they're going to stay up by the skin of their teeth. I think they'll finish 17th, because I think they're disadvantaged by the fact they're playing their first few games away from home because of the upgrades that got to happen. But I think Kenilworth Road could be like their sort of joker in the pack to help them stay up. If they can make that good, they're going to have at some point they're going to have a sort of a flit of home games because they're having to play the first few games away, so they can use that to help themselves. And I think in Rob Edwards, they've got an excellent coach as well. And I think he can really do quite well with Luton. So I think they will just about stay up, although it'll be really, really tricky for them. And I think they'll, like Forest last season, they'll go through long periods of the season where they're going to be sort of not going to be able to buy a point. But I think by hook or by crook, they'll get there in the end.
So that was excellent. Before I go to you, Adam, I just want to point out my incredible restraint in not correcting the pronunciation of Caicedo.
So, sorry.
9 points to me. Adam, take it away.
What did Chris say then? Because it's Caicedo, right?
Caicedo.
Okay. So, does that be said in his press conference?
Adam, say Caicedo.
Yeah.
So, does that be said in his press conference today that Casio...
That's trouble. You know, this is why you lost the colonies.
Because I couldn't pronounce anything.
I think you find that we never had this problem because what we did is we just turned up and changed the words to names that we could pronounce.
Yeah, new something.
Oh, you call this this, do you? Not anymore.
I was about to make a very strategic Falkland Islands comment.
How about if we call this Bombay?
Or what about this new foul
also,
land we've
we'll
got?
Take two, thank you.
This place looks familiar. I'm going to call it New South Wales. He said that he had already forgotten about
that player.
About that player, yeah.
The one we forgot about, yeah.
Which is, you wonder how much of that is posturing. They very much have been pilfered over the summer, maybe even, I suppose, a little bit longer than that. This will be a real test of their recruitment. I think we've talked in podcasts last season when we talked about Brighton, we've talked about many a team who have, again, managed to go for a little period where they've had a very hot streak in terms of their recruitment and they've been able to... You end up with a transfer guru, whether that's Leicester... I think Leicester and Newcastle are the two examples that spring to mind to me. And... they or often the people who were deemed responsible for that have moved on and haven't been able to replicate that. So whether the Brighton system allows them to unearth more gems, we'll wait and see. They've got a lot of money. I also wonder whether the praise that was given to De Zerbi last season, which was fawning from the tactics community and the coaching world. Let's see whether he is this next level genius. Let's see whether he is this next level genius that people make him out to be, or whether he is a Roberto Martinez or a Chris Wilder who gets found out.
I love that we had our first Roberto Martinez slander on my watch. It makes me really happy. Okay, next match. Ready? It's Everton and Fulham. Adam, it's your first match. It's your first home match. How are you feeling? Give us some adjectives. What are you excited about? What are you nervous about? What message would you like to wish your boys?
Awful rubbish. What am I excited about? Nothing. What am I worried about? Relegation again.
Okay, hold on. What's going to be different this season than last season?
Zero games will be managed under Frank Lampard.
Yes, see? Already looking up.
That's true. We've skewed positive, yeah.
Where's your energy, where are your goals going to come from?
Great question. I'd love an answer, Jesse. Can you? I don't want to ask you to answer your own question, but
Chris, help our friend out.
Well, yeah, I was listening to the Lars Sivertsen podcast earlier on this week.
Did you know that Chris listens to other podcasts, by the way?
Does he have his own podcast now?
I've told you this. I literally messaged you a link with it ages ago.
My peace is over.
I'm a busy man, Chris. Come on. Look, think of all these times that I've said over the last sort of half an hour, I've kept saying how much I agreed with you and how right you are. Don't fall out over this.
Oh, right. All right. Adam, again, it's called the Lars Resort.
I remember this now. Yeah.
So he did his preview this week and he said that Everton under Dyche were on for, I can't remember if he said, over a full season. If you averaged out the points Everton got under Dyche over a full season last season, it would have been 42 or 44 points, I think it was. So they would have been fairly comfortably okay. I don't think you particularly, you've got that guy that didn't want to be with you, Dan Juma, and you've got Ashley Young. Whether that's enough to stave off last season, sort of what happened to you last season or not, I don't know, but I think you'll be okay, given what he said, given the sort of stats that he said.
We signed some guy today from, I want to say Sporting.
There you go.
Jesse, don't get, because I'm now going to tell you that, like, his record at Sporting was, he's a striker. He had scored, like, 3 goals in 19 games or something.
Who is it?
God, I can't be expected to know all of the
things. That's fair. This is a very stressful time. Don't worry about it.
You have signed.
Shut up. Well, Chris does Google. Tell us about Fulham.
Oh, hang on. No, I found it.
Never mind.
Yusuf Shermiti.
He's like
3 goals in 16 league games for Sporting. Excellent. It's not like they found the next Ronaldo at Sporting, is it?
three and 16. Sorry, I was doing him dirty by saying 3 and 19.
You thought it was 16 and 3, didn't you?
Look, other skills.
I think by virtue of the fact that, like I said earlier on, anyone from 10th or 11th down to 20th, you can throw all their names in the air and whichever three names land upwards, you can pick as your relegation for May. And I think Everton are sort of helped by the fact that so many poor teams down there. Fulham, I don't think, would do as well as last season. I think for this game, I think this will be like a score draw, like 1-1. I'm tempted to say it'll be last on match of the day.
Has Mitrovic had his head turned?
I think he has, and it's not happened for him. And I think he might be a bit miffed, because we all know he's an emotional chap. People think you ladies are emotional playing football, Jesse. You've got nothing on Mitrovic.
Listen, that's why I'm in charge, because men are too emotional to be in charge.
I think his head has definitely been turned over the course of the summer. I get the feeling that they had periods of time last season where they were a bit streaky in the fact that they would sort of lose quite a few games. So I don't think they'll be anywhere near the bottom, but I think they will be upper mid-table, I think, you know, sort of between 10th and 12th, I think they'll finish. As for this game tomorrow, I think it's going to be last match of the day. Boring score draw.
Oh, it's going to be boring. I mean, there are going to be 38 very boring games involving Everton this season.
Well, let's move on to the next one, shall we? Sheffield and Palace. Is this when we walk our dogs?
Oh, yeah, this could be last match of the day.
Right?
Start to feel like I shouldn't tune into match of the day.
I mean, are we looking forward to anything about either one of these teams? Do we think they're just going to fail up because, as Chris said, other people are terrible? Do we even remember who Sheffield is? The answer to most of those questions is no.
I've got a feeling Sheffield are going to finish dead bottom. I think Sheffield are not going to. I think they're the only team that have come up and made their squad worse. You're always supposed to attract players, not sell your best players and get rid of your best players. So I think that they're going to be rock bottom 20th. I think it was Carl again on the Sunday show thought they might do a derby and finish with 11 points. I don't think that's going to happen, but I just can't see them. I think they'll be the team that finishes bottom that you know will be relegated from about late January, but won't be confirmed till about mid-April, I think.
And like Southampton last season.
Yeah, pretty much. And I think Palace are interesting because they're without Wilfried Zaha now, and I think Michael Olise is pretty much set on going to one or two different places. So it'd be interesting to see how they replace that creative output, because you're relying then on Eze and not an awful lot else.
I think Eze is great. I really rate Eze. So this is a, he's got some bigger shoes to grow into, to see if he really can do it, right? We'll soon see. But I also worry for Palace, because I think that Zaha has just been so important to them.
Yeah. And is it Gray Heat at the back?
Mark Gray.
Yes, I think there's been talk of him going elsewhere as well. So it's important that I think you've got to be careful how many of your best players you release over a short period of time, particularly so close to the start of the season. So I think.
Oh, hold on. So Chris is allowed to have this idea now, but when I said it about West Ham.
Hey, hold up. You know what? Here's the thing.
Jesse Adams has... being mean.
I know. Listen,
Ms. Loach, the boy in the corner has been mean to me.
I'm going to make you both sit in the safe place and then come back and draw a picture about your feelings. And also, I don't even give a shit about this. But why are we getting up in arms about this match? We have so many other ones to come. We're moving
this
on.
This is true. I'm
using my wand. This match is done. Let's get through the next one, too, because Newcastle and Villa. And honestly, I know I'm hosting, but also, like, let me just say that I feel like Villa have been coasting on they're actually not as good as they think they are mode. So everybody agree with me?
No.
I do agree. Jesse, I anecdotally, I agree with you.
Thank you. Chris, Adam's my favorite.
But
Adam gets extra snack, except what, Adam, but what?
No. I think that we would both be proven wrong if you looked, because like Chris was talking about what Lars did extrapolating Sean Dyche's numbers, I think that Emery's numbers at Villa are probably really, really good.
Okay.
So now you're quoting a podcast that I recommended to you months ago that you've not listened to yet.
All right, boys. Play nicely.
Why? Did he also talk about
I think Emery's, he did, yeah.
This is our time. Yeah. We're going to talk about our podcast.
Sorry, Jesse, go on.
Thank you. Ooh, this is fun.
I'm not even hosting and I'm interrupting you.
It's great. Guys, do we think that Newcastle, now that there are so many other bad guys, like, have they gotten away with it?
I think the forthcoming Amazon documentary will be the most nauseating thing I think you could possibly imagine. But I think
it got overshadowed by other people's badness, attitude.
Being chopped up in embassies.
Right?
Yeah.
Attitude is a great word.
I think Newcastle will be interesting this season. I think that they bought well in Tonali. I'm a huge Sandro Tonali fanboy, so I'm quite glad he's in the Premier League. But I wonder if Newcastle are at this sort of tipping point where they've got the players that they got the players that Eddie Howe inherited that made them really good, that might be struggling to get a place now. They've got the players they brought in, like Isak last season, Gomes, and now Tonali, that are obviously sort of incredibly good. And then they've got the players that Howe bought in, like Dan Byrne and Chris Wood, I reckon, has gone back there after his loan period. So what happens to them now? So I think we're a bit of a tipping point with harmony in the Newcastle dressing room, and I think that's going to be difficult for them to get right.
Someone like Chris Wood isn't going to stay. He won't be there after transfer deadline day, though.
No, you would have thought not, but there's people like Dan Byrne and people like that, maybe. I don't know.
I think that you underestimate how happy some people might be earning a massive wedge, not doing an awful lot of work.
That's true. Yeah, fair enough. I wonder if
I think that they've recruited well. I think that Harvey Barnes is a great signing. Who else have they signed? Chris, who's the
Sandra
Tonali? Tonali is also a great signing, and the defender from Southampton.
Oh, Livermore. Is it no? Oh, yeah. I know what you mean. Someone wanted to call their fantasy Premier League. They want to call their Premier League team Men's Liver Mental Health, but apparently it's too many characters. That's quite funny.
By the way, it was called Edison's Cavani's Nipples, but then I forgot about it and didn't keep it up to date.
You don't ever forget about Edinson Cavani's nipples. No, don't lie to us.
Never. I just forgot about my team. I forgot about Team Edinson Cavani's Nipples, but that was the name of my Premier League team.
I think that the thing with Newcastle is that they massively overachieved last season.
Yeah.
To an extent that I think that even with the most insane recruitment this window, I think that the idea of them repeating what they did last season would be a huge long shot.
I think I heard someone on a podcast that I've stolen things from, that the new rules about time wasting, etc., could really hit Newcastle quite hard. Apparently, the team that had the ball in play the least last season were Leeds, and Newcastle were second least. So that could really sort of impact Newcastle in quite a way. I think Villa could be interesting. They've got Moussa Diaby, which I think some people thought was going to be the player that Leon Bailey was, but obviously hasn't 100% worked out. I think what's going to happen with Ollie Watkins is quite interesting. Can he keep up his form from last season as well? With all this talk of Moises Caicedo, I'm a bit disappointed that Liverpool haven't been looking at either Douglas Luiz or Boubacar Camara, because I quite like them as players as well. And I think you wouldn't be paying £111 million for that. So I think Villa, again, have got the whole Sunday-Thursday thing. They might be a bit difficult. I think this game tomorrow is going to be really interesting. I think this could be quite a good, fun game to watch. I think Newcastle will probably win it, but I think it will be an entertaining match.
In case either of you were wondering whether football was really back, mm-hmm. I've just watched Erling Haaland walk off the pitch at halftime after having already scored two goals in this game, being yelled at by Pep Guardiola for all of the things that he clearly had done wrong in that half.
That's just his intensity.
I will point out that Pep Guardiola is probably not a good person. He's defended some shadiness in the past. Also, that football isn't back. It's been here the whole fucking time. We're going to talk about the World Cup in a minute. That was not a thing against you, Adam. And also, Harvey is just, it boggles my mind that there are two young people named Harvey in the Premier League, because that is somebody's Jewish great uncle, not a Premier League player.
Adam.
And those are the only things I have to say about that.
Adam, as it's your birthday next week and you're becoming a year older and grumpier, have you noticed that teenagers today look like either Harvey Elliott or Kai Havertz?
Yeah, I work with a lot of them, yeah.
It's true.
Why are you working with
them? There seems to have been a memo where they all decided to have the same haircut.
Yeah.
Why are teenagers working with you? I feel like that's a violation of child labour.
You're Fagin.
We're doing a deep dive next week into working conditions.
Adam's labour conditions.
Then we've got Brentford and Spurs. Who cares? We're not going to talk about that. Let's move on.
Oh, we will.
No, we're not.
I think Brentford would be interesting to play. They're losing their goalkeeper to Arsenal, obviously. But I think there's a lot of pressure on Brian and Mbeumo this season now that Ivan Toney's been missing for some time. Unless I miss something. I don't really think Brentford have made a temporary replacement for Ivan Toney, have they? They did okay without him in three games last season. They got 7 from 9 points in the three games without him. But I think over the longer term, they could well miss him, I think.
I mean, Brentford started out with that sort of mini Cinderella run last season. And then really, I think we all agreed last year, got lucky that there were other people who were so much worse.
Do you know when Bournemouth were the first in the Premier League? For a couple of years, they were like a breath of fresh air, and everyone after that were like, oh, meh. And then when they got relegated, no one was really that bothered. Are Brentford in danger of slipping into that?
Can we, yeah. Are Brentford, like, are we going to see some magic? Are they going to surprise us?
I never really thought they were a breath of fresh air, so yeah, I've got nothing.
Adam, it's bees. Bees.
I'm fine with them going.
Adam, quick, tell us three reasons why bees are very important and why we should save them.
I'm going to go full on Tony Blair with this and just going to go pollination, pollination, pollination.
Oh, brilliant. Chris, tell us two ways that we can save the bees.
by making bee brothels so they can have sex more and make baby bees.
Those and are by, you're right.
And by protecting their environment, not spraying them.
I'm so proud of both of you.
We're still going to talk about Spurs, though.
You God damn it. I really thought I'd gotten away with that.
Jesse, do you want to... obviously, I'm also not going to stop us from talking about Spurs, but I do just want to tell you that Eleanor has a little...
Who's Eleanor for the listeners? Who's the Eleanor for the listeners?
My sister, Eleanor, has a bee revival kit on her key ring. So if she's walking around and she finds a little bee and it's a little tired, she's got like a little sugar serum sort of thing so she can feed it so it has the energy to get back to
Okay, number one, please can you send me that because I want one. Number two, everything I learn about your sister just makes me love her even more. So... good. And Chris, when we post this podcast, we're also going to post the link to the Bee Revival Kit. Doesn't mean we're Brentford fans. It means we really love bees.
We are still going to talk about Tottenham.
Brentford are going to be the tired little bees who need the sugar serum, they say.
Pontus Janssen they've lost as well, so yeah.
Here's a fun thing about hosting. I don't have to do anything I don't want to do. So
Spurs fucked.
Why don't we?
Exactly. Last Spurs fucked. Last Spurs fucked.
Wait, how'd you learn our new theme song already?
Adam, how long have you spent looking at flight radar today to see where Harry Kane's plane is?
Zero, but I did get really annoyed by the stories about him not going fake. And
yeah. No. There were all these stories that like the plane was actually empty or like Daniel Levy was going to be on the plane and pop out and be like, April.
Imagine if they just was like, I love the idea of there being like a big, like, they've got like a welcome committee at the airport. They're all there going, wait, just Harry will be here shortly. Have the umpire band ready.
What would be the funniest thing if the plane doors open?
And it's just, and out, like, for some reason, the plane doors open. There's no one there immediately. Then sort of like it starts dry ice. Daniel Levy walks out onto the little thing and just was like, it's me, fuckers.
Wait, but when
the camera cuts, the camera cuts away to Harry Kane in a parachute flying back, sort of landing back in the Tottenham Stadium.
Yeah.
How do you think, seriously, where are their goals going to come from? Because everybody now knows that Spurs have got £100 million in their pocket if they want to buy one of their players.
Sir, Oliver Skip scored 2 goals for us in the preseason friendly. Did we even remember Oliver Skip was on our team? No. So maybe this is when Harry Winks steps up into his...
Harry Winks is on loan at Leicester.
I know. He's also terrible. But like...
I feel like Oliver Skip is just the new Harry Winks.
I said the same thing!
In about 6 months' time, you're going to be telling me about how much you hate Oliver Skip.
And the problem is,
why is he even playing and in this team?
If Oliver Skip's family listens to this, I'm so sorry. But like, at least Harry Winks is adorable. So he's such a bad player, but you could be like, whatever. He's just on there to like look cute and wave his little floppy hair. Oliver Skip doesn't really give us that.
Well, one thing for sure, when I watched Glastonbury this year, that someone had a whole panoramic shot of the entire crowd watching Elton John, and someone tweeted saying all those people have got the same number of trophies as Harry Kane. That won't be true next season.
Okay, I'm going to say things and you're going to respond to them. It's going to be like a call and repeat. Harry Kane sacrificed a lot, gave us probably the best years of his career, and like I'm glad he's going to go have an opportunity somewhere else.
To win something.
And hopefully, you know, feel good about his performance. I don't want anyone on my team who doesn't want to be there.
Let's be honest. It's not an opportunity to win things, is it? It's just he's gone to win things. Yeah. There's no opportunity.
No, he wanted.
What happens is it'll get to May, and all of a sudden he'll have some.
We still have
questions. Hold on. Question for Chris.
Yes.
Is the Golden Boot a trophy, though? Like, he physically has that. Like, he physically owns it. That's that's in his trophy cap. What is it if it's not a trophy?
Well, as the holder of...
Adam, 5 points to you.
As the holder of Five-Side Player of the Year from 2005 Hunkett Leisure Centre and also 2008 Manager's Choice for Six-A-Side Player of the Year at Truro, I can categorically say, yes, it is.
Chris, again, we're going
to
need...
Manager's Choice is the teacher's pet. Award given to you because... No, it's not even Teacher's Pet, Chris. It's the oh, we want to keep the guy who's always willing to go in goal.
We're going to need photos of those, and we're going to need to post them on the Men on the Post channels. Okay, let's move on from talking about my dumb team.
No, let's carry on, because where are your goals going to come from? You've got Richarlison, who didn't score any, did he? And then you've got
didn't he score like three? Well, there wasn't the thing that like the three.
Oh, against Liverpool.
There was that thing about the three goals he scored, and they either didn't count. He got his. Wasn't there a thing where he got like? I'm pretty sure he scored three goals in which he took his shirt off and he got booked for all three of them.
Yes,
and I love him.
Two of them get like rescinded by VAR or something. And one of them was the one where Liverpool scored immediately afterwards.
Adam, how many points have I given you?
Pardon?
How many points had I given you?
Oh, all of the points, Jennifer.
Yeah, I take them all back. You have none of them.
But it's an interesting point, because other than Richarlison, who didn't score, and Son, who scored some goals, where are you going to get your Harry Kane sort of gap of goals from?
I gave you back the talking stick.
But in all fairness there, Chris, like Richarlison was one, injured for periods, and two.
And also played in the World Cup.
Will play a completely different role in a Harry Kane-less Spurs.
I think that's the answer for everything. You know, Son, I think, was playing a sort of plus one, and he...
But Son was nowhere near the player that he... Last season, Son was in a really... Son's form was particularly poor, right. I'd say. I think
there's going to be a lot more pressure and responsibility on his shoulders. We'll see how he takes that. We'll see what happens. And I think everybody else sort of fell under this, like, let's hope that Harry Kane carries us and scores all our goals. And we don't have that anymore. So everybody needs to step up, and we'll sort of figure out where the goals are going to come from. I do think that Richarlison last year had such a terrible season in terms of his relationship to the manager, his injuries, and the timing. You know, I think we're going to see a different kind of season for everybody, considering that there's no fucking World Cup in the middle of the goddamn season. Thank you, FIFA. And that's going to change a lot of things.
I think one thing as well, I saw a photograph today of the 2019 Champions League runners-up, and Son is the only player remaining from that squad, and it's only 4 years ago. That's a huge amount of turnover of players, and I don't know whether that has had an effect on Spurs and whether that continued to have it. Apparently.
Well, we got rid of...
What about Hugo Lloris and Eric Dier?
Oh, there you go. Oh, wait a minute. Let's take another moment to talk about...
Hugo Lloris had left.
Hugo Lloris is just old. Wait a minute. Hey, talking stick is back to me. Let's take a minute to talk about Dele and Eric Dier and how vulnerable and like brave they both are. Go.
What did Eric Dier do that was vulnerable and brave?
He talked about Dele, and he basically like supported Dele.
Oh, I saw the thing where he talked about how he was kind of upset that he hadn't... He felt that he kind of let Dele down, or hadn't done enough to support Dele, and didn't know. I think that Eric Dier's probably being quite harsh on himself.
I do because too. And from what Dele said, he was such a good friend.
I think that Dele was probably in a position where he was, admittedly, in his interview with Gary Neville, which was an incredible watch. He was hiding the things that he was going through from everyone.
Yeah.
So I don't think that Eric Dier should... I think anyone in that situation always feels that they could have done or should have done more, but I think that you're being incredibly harsh on yourself, and with the hindsight that you've got, and in reality that...
I think it says a lot about who he is as a person that he did take that on himself.
Yeah, and that he's willing to come out in such a public manner and say it is one thing to have gone into Dele and say it, but to put that out to the wider public,
I have the Spurs starting lineup for the 2019 Champions League final.
Ooh. Hold on, you said squad, you didn't say starting
lineup. Oh, sorry, I meant starting lineup. Sorry if I didn't say that. Yeah, it was like the pre-match photo.
And what, are you telling me that Hugo Lloris wasn't in... Oh, did he get a concussion or something weird? Or...
Well, no, he played. I thought he'd left this season, Hugo Lloris. Is he still at Spurs?
Yeah.
I'm sure Lloris is still at Spurs.
Let's have a look.
Where's he going to go?
Oh, it says he is on Wikipedia. Yeah. Oh.
Well, on Wikipedia. Okay. Hi, Vey. On Wikipedia. All right, we're moving on from this.
According to Wikipedia, he's still there.
too many issues. Guys.
Hold on, sorry, just one more thing I want to talk about. You know, but it's skewing, it's like, not positive, but just, I just, the one thing we haven't talked about, which it seems a slight oversight, is that they have a new manager.
Oh, right! You know what? And for all of the shit on Postecoglou, he seems great. I'll probably hate him in a month, but for now, seems like a positive.
I think a lot of
questions. What's the shit on Postecoglou? Two, what was Chris laughing at?
Sorry, I'm laughing at there's a video of Harry Kane in the backseat of a car on his way to his medical. And his sort of gurning pose, someone on Twitter has said he looks like a rhino that's been tranquilized and woken up in a different national park. a lot of Celtic fans were very down on Postecoglou when he arrived, and their opinion did a complete volte-face not too long after he arrived, and I don't think you'll find a Celtic fan has got a bad word to say about him. And he's got, you know, he's won continental titles, he's won national titles. I don't think there's anything bad to say Postecoglou.
Yeah, most of
I just think that it seemed odd that the recruitment process was drawn out and odd and a bit of a failure, right? Like, you had them interviewing
everyone,
Nagelsmann and Luis Enrique, and reports coming out about all sorts of different people are getting either turned down or turning it down. And so Postecoglou seemed like an odd choice when you have both of those people available.
Someone has said on Football Weekly that it's nice to have a manager at Spurs that wants to be there rather than seems like he's doing them a favour by being there, which is probably what you got with Mourinho and Conte.
Sure. I'm not saying that makes it a bad choice. I'm just saying it seems like an odd choice. We could all be shown to be looking quite silly shortly.
Mm.
Finally, Jesse, you can move on to talk about another game now.
And guess who we're moving on to?
Chelsea.
Live. Which, if you're Uruguayan, is very funny. So 7 points for me. Okay. Chelsea Liverpool.
These points are giving me serious Harry Potter House Cup. 100 points to Gryffindor for a game of chess.
I mean, listen, if you were in my classroom, I would reward you with snack, but you're not, so you'll have to make do with points. And maybe at the end of the season, you'll be able to trade your points in for something. I don't know. Wouldn't that be exciting?
Exciting.
I know.
I like this new host. I didn't used to get points before.
I love my new role. It's very fun. I love being powerful. It never happened. Watch what I can make you do. Look, people who are listening, watch what I can make them do. Chris, tell me. Oh, no, this is Liverpool. Adam, tell me 5 words about Chelsea that all start with the same letter.
That's not fair.
Okay, you can both do it. You'll say the first word, and then Chris will say the second. You'll set the letter, and then you'll each take turns till you get to 5 words. Go, Chelsea. It's like a fun improv game.
Improved.
Okay, so Chris, you need
another
eye.
We're going with I, are we?
Yeah. That's a hard one.
Inconsistent.
Ooh, okay, Adam.
Innovative.
Oh, wow, okay. Chris?
Incestuous.
Oh, okay. The documentary's
game on. Game over, Chris lost.
Yep, now let's do Liverpool.
Can I just say the context of that? I read a quote out the other day to my family by a guy who said there's 2 things he wouldn't
like. Hold on, what? What? Sorry?
There's 2 things in life.
You're talking about being incestuous, and you're talking about your family?
Let's just leave
that there. I don't want to know any more about this.
This guy said 2 things in life he wouldn't try were Morris dancing and incest.
Oh, God. All right, I don't want to know where you got that quote from, but let's move on. Guys, Chelsea.
No, we didn't get to 5.
Well, no, because you ruined it with incest.
I was going to go with
That's not the first.
It was my go, so I was going to... Inspired would have been next.
Inspired incest.
Wait a minute, Adam. Are Chelsea really inspired? I mean, let's go back to last season when it was like...
last season they were stupid enough to employ Frank Lampard. and this season they were smart enough to employ Pochettino, so...
Yeah, oh, God.
I think that Chelsea are going to be very good.
There's analysis for you.
Okay, before we move on to Liverpool.
Adam.
No, but that is analysis because last season they were very bad.
They were very bad.
This season they'll be very good. Again, that's not an analysis for Father Dougal Maguire.
Some teams are far away. Some teams are just rubbish.
Adam, Chelsea finished last season on 44 points in 12th place. They would have needed another 27 points to get to the Champions League. How are they going to make that up?
He is in host mode.
With Pochettino.
Mm.
Strikers.
They signed Nkunku, was out till January.
But they also signed that other dude, right?
This is great. This is fabulous.
We're all aware of the other dude.
Great content.
It's not Kai Havertz because they sold him.
Yeah, but he was masquerading as a striker. So if anything, he was part of the problem.
Okay.
Hold on, I'm looking up what the other dude's called.
You know, whoever he is, we're going to have to call him the other dude every single podcast.
Was it Kerry Dixon? Gianfranco Zola?
Neil Zola.
Neil Zola. Nicholas Jackson.
The other dude. Okay.
Okay.
Is Pochettino going to be happy there?
No.
Why?
Interesting.
Todd Bowley's got...
So, the question will be whether Pochettino... was from his time at Spurs sort of has garnered this reputation as a project manager, right? You bring him in, you give him a bit of time. I think that some of the tools were laid out already for him. So the question will be whether he is given time. I don't think he's going to need it though. I think that he has a squad that largely will fit what he wants to do. I think he's got a lot of young players, a lot of intelligent players, and he will be able to implement a style of football. I think they're going to press aggressively. I think that they're going to be a cohesive unit. I think that we can ask some very important questions about how they've managed to get themselves in a position where they have... Are we going to use the word circumvented? Maybe not. They've got around financial fair play because I thought that they were going to need some sort of gutting because of the money that they had spent. But they seem to have...
Again, is this just a part of like other people were worse and so they got away with it because the attention was elsewhere?
No, I'm talking specifically about the crazy amounts of money that got paid by Saudi Arabia for players who were...
Oh, no, I knew that. But again,
whose value you would have thought would have been next to nothing. But
I wonder how Newcastle feel about that.
Yeah, it has given them some room to manoeuvre. And I think that there are players that they bought in that the internet was keen to cast off as being duds and flops, and I don't think that they are going to be. I think that players like Modric and Fofana are gonna excel under Pochettino. I think you could see a different Raheem Sterling potentially. I think that there's a lot to be excited about if you're a Chelsea fan.
I'm not quite so on board with that. I think they've got a problem in defence with the fact that Thiago Silva is still there and he's about 3 billion years old and
that Thiago Silva's going to play?
Well, I think he is. I mean, he was still playing for them last season.
Yeah, but that was a different manager.
I think it was. It's 38 or 39 now.
Yeah, and they lost Koulibaly as well.
They also signed Fofana and Fofana got injured very quickly, didn't he?
Yeah, but they've lost Kalidou Koulibaly as well, haven't they?
Yeah, who was also old and...
But not as old.
And relatively rubbish. I think that
he was in his mid-30s, like you.
Yeah, well, early 30s. I am, so not quite like me. But I think that the Thiago Silva that we could see is going to be something more akin to the role that Vincent Kompany played under Pep towards the end of his time with Guardiola, where he was
player manager it.
Well, but he was more there as a sort of a leader in the dressing room. He didn't play an awful lot of games, but he was there amongst the squad, and I think that he was a consummate professional, and I think that Thiago Silva will be the same. He's not club captain anymore. That's been given to Reece James.
I think a thing with Chelsea as well is they've lost Kovacic and Mason Mount from midfield, which is two pretty big losses. I don't know why Chelsea fans are so down on Mason Mount. I didn't quite get that.
I don't get that. I think Mason Mount is a great signing for Manchester United. So I don't get that either. But I think I thought that Mason Mount was kind of a slight sort of necessary evil to as part of the money they needed to raise.
Into Chelsea's squad, like, was it a them problem that they just never figured out how to use him best?
I mean, Frank Lampard would do that.
I think that Mason Mount did good things at Chelsea. That's what confuses me the most.
I don't know how much of this is rethinking out sort of loud, but it seemed to me that he did okay under Lampard the first time around. He did. Did he do okay under Thomas Tuchel? I can't remember if he did or not.
Yeah.
Maybe he did.
And maybe it was when Lampard came back the second time around. He just didn't know what to do with him. But I think the other thing as well is they got Mudryk, who was at best unproven last year. They've got a inexperienced forward line as well. I think Chelsea are still, I think, in a state of flux. I don't think I can see them getting Champions League football this season, although they may well be helped by the fact they haven't got any European football at all.
Chris, are you ready for what's going to happen?
Yes.
We're about to talk about Liverpool.
Chris, hopes going forward, we will be... Worries. Sorry, go on.
No, hopes, dreams, feelings, worries, concerns. What would you say to them in their first match? Go.
I'm worried about our defence, definitely, because...
Okay, now everything else has to begin with the letter D.
Yep. Good job. Yep.
Dincest.
That's when you do incest at dinner.
Yeah.
I'm concerned about the defence. I think Trent, whenever he moved into midfield, left a big Trent-sized hole behind him last season. And I think...
Wasn't Trent leaving Trent-sized holes behind him when he was playing right back, though?
Well, he was as well, yeah.
Yeah, somebody stop him.
I think that... Virgil van Dijk was starting to creak a little bit. Ibrahim Konate did okay. I'm worried about Joe Gomez and Jean Matip as cover. I think we've got problems there. I think we were starting to address the concerns in midfield with Simon McAllister and Szczesny. I don't think we're expecting Fabinho and Henderson to go. I can see why we're bidding for Caicedo. I wish we weren't. I wish we would... go for sort of, I mean, I'd be happy with bidding for Tyler Adams. I said Luiz and Camara earlier on. I don't think we've got a problem playing up front at all. And someone was saying,
God, maybe you can play. Why haven't you talked to Darwin Nunez yet? I've given you so much leave.
I'm going. Someone was saying you can play McAllister in your defensive midfield position, and then that leaves you further forward. Means you can play Salah, Luiz, and you can also play Darwin and Gakpo. Up front. So I think going forward will be really good. It's further back, I've got some concerns, and I think those concerns are probably going to cost us top four, unless we can get another defensive midfielder and a defender. But I don't know how much money we got for that.
Is Alisson any part of your concern?
He was last season. Lots of people saying good things about Alisson last season. I don't quite see that, because I seem to remember him making some errors against Real Madrid. I think he made one against Napoli.
Jamie Carragher put him in his team of the year. It was awful.
Yeah. He definitely made some ricks last season, and I don't understand why people were speaking so highly of him. Jamie Carragher, though, was talking the other day about, it must have been Caicedo to give to Chelsea as, you know, why a team spending this much money? Why he's changed his tune when Liverpool bid for that amount of money for him, saying, oh, you know, sometimes you have to do what's necessary.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to spend the money.
Yes, pretty much that.
If Chelsea had spent 80 million on him, they'd have been overpaying. But Liverpool paying 105 is a great bit of business.
I think the competition for the top four this season, although I think someone said it's top five for the Champions League. I think that competition is really tough to get in those Champions League places. And I do think we might struggle to make that.
Adam, would you like to make him feel better?
Yeah, go on, Adam.
I'm just happy that Chris didn't steal all of the gold that I gave him earlier today that he told me to save for later.
Oh, yes, come out with that.
Do you want me to
read
you
your tweets? You're going to read your WhatsApps now.
I don't need to read it, Chris. It's all up here. I've got that on lockdown. Don't worry.
Oh, just I think for this game, I think it's going to be a Chelsea win. Sorry.
I think that Liverpool have completely overhauled. Are going to have completely overhauled their midfield. Right? They're probably, if they were to sign Caicedo, or even if they weren't to sign Caicedo, we're going to expect them to sign another player. Of probably with a defensive mindset, right? Someone who is in the replacement for Binho, because they don't have a pure holding midfield player. I don't think that you want to have McAllister playing in that role, right? Because I feel that you're limiting what you could get from him.
Yeah.
So I think that you're probably going to see a midfield free of, let's say they sign Caicedo, McAllister. The guy from the Hungarian guy, whose name I can't pronounce.
You've both been saying Caicedo very well.
Yeah, I mean, how good's your Hungarian, Jesse? I think Adam's got carte blanche to pronounce it how he wants.
or Harvey Elliott.
Yeah,
I mean, you've been front loaded or top loaded for a very long time.
They're going to be the players that are going to be playing in your midfield, and I think that if you're playing with McAllister and I'm just going to keep referring to him as the Hungarian dude, that again, similar to what I was saying about Arsenal, that I think that Liverpool are going to change how they play, and they used to play with two fullbacks very high up the pitch. Who would join the front five, both of them at the same time, which was you didn't see a lot of teams doing. So they would do that by allowing, and then that allowed the front three to play very narrow. So although you had a situation, if you think back to Liverpool's heyday, where they had Salah and Mane were playing on opposite wings, but often were playing together, right? Almost as a partnership. So I don't think that if you play in this new way, like I said about similar to Arsenal, where you have your two midfielders joining into the attack, I think that would happen with Trent then coming inside. I think Robinson would slide to being the left-sided centre-back in a back three in possession, which would be something that would concern me if I was a Liverpool fan. But I think that a problem you might have is, as someone who's always thought of Mohamed Salah as quite a selfish player, I'm not sure he's going to enjoy being the widest of that front five, because I think he likes playing inside and cutting inside and shooting all the time and, let's be honest, scoring a lot of goals. So can't be too critical, but I think that his production is going to go down, and I think that maybe his ego is wrapped up a lot in that. I think, annoyingly, that Liverpool will get out of jail with this situation, because he will probably go to Saudi Arabia next summer for an obscene amount of money that no other team will pay for a 32-year-old.
Let me just interject and say that sound, if any of you heard it, was my dog dreaming. So that was not a commentary on what Adam was saying. That was just Blue being tired. That crinkle noise is not my dog. Adam, how do you think this match is going to end?
I think Chelsea will win.
Really? Well, as the host, I'm not going to tell you my thoughts, but I do think you're both wrong. Okay. guys, we've made it to our last match. It's Monday. We're on Monday already. And listen, I'm in charge, so you're going to have to deal with me saying this. But like, what the actual motherfuck, Man United, are you thinking with this bullshit Mason Greenwood situation? Please chime in. Oh, by the way, they're playing.
Oh, goals. They've left it to the ladies to decide. That's an absolute weasel way out, that is. Oh, we wanted to bring him back, but the ladies said no. So I've just retweeted something, which is Manchester United fans tagging in the Manchester United ladies players saying, "We are watching you." I mean, that is an absolutely disgraceful position to put your players in.
So here's a fun, here's what just happened.
But do they mean we are watching you as in we're watching you, don't let this wrong one back
in? No.
No, the other way around.
You don't know that. Well, you are jumping to conclusions about what those people are zeeting about, Chris.
As the capital L lady on this podcast right now, I mean, let's just give a recap in case people were living under a rock. And if you are, please invite me because I would like to be under said rock. Mason Greenwood, there is audio and video of him raping and beating up his partner. And the team... And Eric Ten Hag, who has previously supported abusers on his other teams, has said he's a great player. And Manchester United have decided that in dealing with a situation of abuse against women, they're going to leave it to their women's team, who are currently playing in a World Cup, to make the decision, basically leaving them open to horrendous internet bullshit and probably worse, regardless of the stands they take. Did I get that right? Did I do it?
I think you have. I think it's absolutely appalling what they've done. The people who should be making the decision have bottled it. And if the ladies team decide that they don't want him back, they'll say, "Oh, you know, we wanted him back, but, you know, the ladies didn't want him." And if they do, then they'll say, "Oh, you know, we wanted to get rid of him, but the ladies have said, you know, we've even got the women involved saying that we should let him back." It's absolutely appalling. And then they're taking pictures of him bringing his bloody baby into training this week. It's just absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, I honestly truly don't think they could have handled this worse.
No.
Like, literally just step up and say, "Look, this is the same team that had Ronaldo and Ryan Giggs. Like, this is who we are. Deal with it." And that would have been less cowardly and less problematic.
Yes, if they said, "We don't care about any of that stuff, he's playing for us," that would be appalling in itself. But at the same time, it probably would have been, like I said, more palatable than what they're doing right now.
Yep. And Wolves.
Wolves, I think, are going to get relegated this year.
No! You guys, we love Raul. Adam!
Well, Raul's gone.
Yeah.
What? Say a nice thing about Wolves.
They're already sort of in. They're the Premier League's first chaos club this season.
Yes.
Right?
Yes,
they haven't even kicked a ball yet. So,
and come on, how fun is that? Like, Diego Costa really didn't live up to full Diego Costa last season. I don't think we got enough bang for our Diego Costa buck. Are we going to get anything fun from him? Like, what are they going to give us?
I'm wondering how invested in this Wolves project George Mendes is still. It seems to have been a thing that's run its course. The only person they've signed this season is Matt Doherty, who they let go last season. So it doesn't seem that anyone's really sort of taking any initiative with Wolves. They've let the manager go because of internal conflict with him. I don't remember Wolves winning a game last season. They were just awful all season long.
I feel like the signs of the fact that Lopetegui's gone sort of really does sort of lend itself to your point there, Chris. I feel that the reason he's probably gone is because I think that he feels that his ambition is not being met, and that he's not being given the resources needed to do the job that's expected of him. It does feel like Wolves have. It feels like they're not trying. It feels like when you watch in American sports and teams tank to try and get a good draft pick, except there is no draft pick.
I actually don't know what that means.
There's just relegation. Yeah. Like, I'm all for it, though. It's one team that's going to get in between Everton and one of those bottom three places. So Chris has got Sheffield United nailed on for one of them. If we've got Wolves for the other, that gives us a 1 in 18 chance to take those odds.
Please don't make me do math. if Wolves were playing purely on vibes, who would be the absolute funniest person that they would sign? And you can't look at Ramos because he already retired. Who'd you say, Chris?
I didn't say anything. Adam said something. Adam, who did you say?
I said Mason Greenwood.
Well done. Yep.
Can we actually talk about Manchester United?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
In terms of football, though, because they've probably got a project manager in Ten Hag, right? And they improved last season under him. I think that you saw players improve for Manchester United, which is something that before Ten Hag, I couldn't remember the last time Manchester United signed a player and they got better at Manchester United.
Yeah, it would have been Fergie days, wouldn't it? Easily.
Probably, yeah.
Definitely.
So,
Paul Pogba.
Have they done enough to in their recruitment? Just feels. I think they've done good recruitment, but is it? It doesn't feel like enough.
I'm surprised by their recruitment because I kind of feel that the Glazers are decorating their house before they sell it, if you see what I mean. They're having to spend some... Well, it's not their money, is it? It's the club's money. But the money is being spent to try and make United look as competitive and palatable as possible, but only just enough money, which is probably why you're seeing them buy the players they have. But maybe not go for someone like Kane. Maybe there's something in that, but I don't understand.
I'm very confused by the Harry Kane situation.
I bet Harry Kane is.
he's going to wake up tomorrow in Germany. Yeah. How the fuck did I? The fuck happened?
He's going to say it in German.
I just think that. In terms of the out of what they spent, that it suggests to me that Daniel Levy was adamant that if Harry Kane was going to be sold, he wasn't going to be sold to a British club or an English club, which isn't impossible, I guess. But I just feel that I'm trying to find. Have they still haven't given the Danish kid a number yet?
The Danish kid. How
am I supposed to say? The Danish dude.
The nicknames dude. This season are going to be great.
But they've signed him for 64 million plus 8 million in add-ons. So what's that? £72 million. This Bayern Munich is, what, 86 million? Are you saying that they couldn't have found another £15 million to sign Harry Kane? Could they have maybe not signed a goalkeeper and given a new contract to David De Gea if that was, like... Maybe this kid will be good. Maybe the Danish dude will be impressive and he's young and they're signing a player of an interesting age profile compared to Harry Kane, I suppose, which is... is potentially promising, but
it seems like for the last little bit they've been more interested in signing new, not unknown, but new players and then not knowing what to do with them. And yes, I am thinking about my baby Uruguayan, but even before that, it's like we haven't seen them go for established names, especially in the Premier League. They're not changing, they're not inter-trading. That's a word I've just invented. Go with it.
Yeah, but the Premier League doesn't really do that so much. So it's not like Italy where you can go and play for all of the big clubs.
Right.
Just interchangeably one week after the other. Sort of Mason Mount going from Chelsea to to Manchester United is a slight anomaly. I think he's a great signing. I'm not sure whether Manchester United have done enough to be in that title challenge. And you'd think that in a sort of typical project, you'd have your manager sort of where Manchester United want to be. You'd want to be maybe challenging for the title in year two with the view to winning it in year three. And I'm not sure that is what we're going to see from Manchester United this season. I think we're going to see a comfortable top four team, but I don't expect to see them in a title challenge. I think that they will probably be behind Arsenal and Chelsea.
Well, are you ready for...
I don't know if they'll be behind Chelsea, but I think they'll be behind Arsenal, definitely.
Here's the wrap-up questions, and you don't have to do them with any particular letter of the alphabet. Who are your top four picks, and who's getting relegated? And we're not doing Golden Boot. We're talking Erling Haaland, we know that.
Well, he's already scored two goals.
Yeah, so like, that's just boring. That's a boring question.
I've already said my... Obviously, I think City will win, so add them to the other three. I think they'll be the top four. Okay. Chris, you can go while I work out who... Because I... boringly, I agree with Chris on the other two. I think that the relegation will probably be Sheffield United, Wolves, and I'm going to say Brentford or Palace.
Mm. All right.
I'm going to go top four, Man City, Arsenal... Manchester United and Liverpool. Relegated will be... Oh, they were probably wrong with the Liverpool. Relegated will be Wolves, Sheffield United, and... that last one's a toughie. That last spot. I'm not going to say Luton. I'm going to say Forest.
Oh, I forgot about Luton.
Well, you need to get a freebie then, and you could pop Luton in your freebie. Who is the player that you're most excited to watch?
Sandro Tonali.
Okay.
Well, for myself, it'd be Alexis McAllister, but overall, I think Sandro Tonali.
Okay, Adam.
Oh, I don't know. That's a very good question, Jesse, but I can't come up with a single answer.
Okay, I'll give you a next question. What was your favorite thing about this podcast?
Oh, all the points that I was giving.
So sad that I took them back. Chris?
Yeah, but I had them to play with for a little bit, and that was the memories we have.
I know, right? And there'll be more.
The memories are forever, Jesse.
We have so much time this season. Who knows what will happen? Chris, favorite thing about this podcast?
Adam agreeing with me. Oh, a nice warm glow.
I had a nice warm glow getting to talk to both of you. Chris, can you remind us where people can find you and Man on the Post?
They can find me at CHGM77. You can do the Man on the Post, but you're the host.
Isn't it at Man on the Post on like everything? I don't want to get it wrong. I think it's at MOTP.
It is.
It is.
No, yeah, at Man on the Post.
We've got great sort of brand synergy across all the platforms.
It's at MOTP. No underscores.
No, it's at Man on the Post.
No, not on Twitter. Hold on. Quick, talk about your favorite Broadway show.
Honestly, Jesse, you know, the man knows. It's at Man on the Post. All of them. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Threads, right? Okay. Threads. The other one.
Do we have a Threads, Chris?
I don't think we do.
Well, find us on Threads. Maybe we'll be there soon. I don't know. Maybe the kids will put us on TikTok. TikTok. Woo! All right. Anyway, Adam, we cannot find you on X, formerly known as Twitter. Where can we find you?
No. Nowhere.
No, but what if we want to see, like, bee rescues?
Well, unfortunately, no. I'm not letting any... These people aren't getting into the
the inner sanctum,
the inner sanctum of my private Instagram that you two have been graced with. That's not for the riffraff.
And we were graced with it. It was a gift. All right. So follow Man on the Post at Man on the Post, and then maybe you'll see like glimpses of Adam every so often. And you know, write to us and tell us why this is your favorite podcast of all time. And that's it. Thanks, friends.
Thank you very much,
Chris. You were given single instructions by Ross.
What?
Yes, you have to listen to this podcast on Spotify now.
You don't have to.
I think I always
do. If you don't, Ross will come around and break your legs.
Wait, haven't I always listened to it on Spotify?
I think as I've said that, I think that I sneak behind the curtain that really that instruction was about the when it was tweeted out, not about anything else. I think Ross wanted the Spotify link tweeted, didn't he?
He did.
Oops.
Well,
now everyone knows. I'm airing our dirty laundry in public.
Everyone, listen to us on Spotify or really whatever else you use because, well, we're there.
Yeah.
There, we did it.
Well done, guys. This is, I mean, I feel like we're cutting the Women's World Cup talk because this has already been a tight 90 minutes.
Oh, I didn't even. I'm a disgrace to feminism.
I didn't want to say it. But...
All right. Apologies from me on behalf of all women.
Yeah. Come on, then. You're in charge. The sign off is famous, Jesse.
Hey, guys. Thanks for joining us. And always remember to keep your, Adam, you say it, your.
No, host.
I want one of you to say man and one. See, I'm pointing at you. You just don't see it. That would have been so great. We're going to rehearse for next time. But until we do, always remember to keep your man on the post. Oh, yeah, that was so fun to say.